Blog Talk Radio.
Good, buddy.
you, Jesus. That's the way we should praise the Lord. That's the way we should get excited about the Lord. Put your hands together and clap. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I come into your presence with praise and glorify your name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're just that good. You're that excited. You know, that's what we're going to do when we get to the kingdom. When we get in his presence, oh, my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to praise him, but I know that we're going to be caught up together praising. Hallelujah. So we might as well get ready for it. We're just practicing right down here now of what we're going to be doing for eternity for our Father. Hallelujah. He's worthy. We just praise him. I'm just fired up. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity to say, woo, you are a mighty God, an awesome God, a big God, everlasting God,
right now, God,
a healing God, hallelujah, a delivering God, hallelujah, a comforting God, hallelujah. Right what we need, whatever you need is right there in him. So let's give him some praise in our voice, in our walk, in the way we live our life, in the way that we handle decisions as they come to us each and every day. That's how we're praising him. The world is watching what we're doing, what we're saying out of our mouths, and the actions that we live in our life daily as we face our trials and triumphs. The world is watching. Will you praise him? Hallelujah. I praise the Lord. I set my life before the world as an example. I am going to praise the Lord. I'm going to be the one that praise him. Through it all, I'm going to be the one who's still praising him. He is so good. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Our scripture today is going to come from the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, and we're going to take a few minutes to get that together, Joshua, and we're going to start with verse 6 and read through verse 9. Again, the book of Joshua in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. And as our sister gets that together for me, say amen when you have it. And we're going to be today just doing a celebration for the memory of one of our best friends and brothers, Mr. Bill Sanford. We just wanted to take out time as he has, today was his memorial service, and as his family and stuff has said their final goodbyes, and we just wanted to say, just think of some of the glorious times, because it's a good thing when you can look at somebody and think back, and you don't have all of the negative things that you're thinking about, but you're thinking of, when you think of their name, you start thinking of, oh, wow, I remember this time, and wow, I remember that. And that's just what the brother left in our lives. So we're just wanting to take just a moment just to honor him today just by reminiscing live on air, sharing with you some of the positive things that went on in the lives of Brother Bill Sanford and what he meant to us and our lives.
Amen.
What a good thing.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Sister, do we have a scripture for tonight?
No, just I'm still looking. Hold on.
Okay, no problem. Again, Joshua 1, and we'll do verse 6 through 9. So how was your day today? How's everyone doing today? I pray that everything and everyone in your family is able to deal with whatever is going on today, because it's not that if it's too heavy for you, I pray that you know and give it over to the Lord. Hallelujah. He said we can just bring all of our requests to him. We don't have to mention Max and say, well, this here may be too heavy for the Lord, or maybe I'll be bothering him. He don't have time for my small, petty things. But he said that we can bring all of our requests to him. So don't let man, woman, or boy, or girl just discourage you from bringing your cares to the Lord, discourage you from thinking that God is concerned about every point being and everything that's going on in your life, in your being. Hallelujah. So remember, keep his word over man's word. I don't care what the title may be on that person, but I just feel that it's important to remind you that your friends, your family may tell you different things, but remember, God's word, it will never change. It stands forever. And whatever it is, you know, it's no secret from God. So why not come and cry out to the Lord? You know, we waste too much time, really, and spilling everything to our friends and to our family members. We need to go to Christ first. And when we lay down, just prostrate, just on our face to the Lord and say, here I am, Jesus. You know my heart. You know the concerns that is going on right now. You know the procrastination that I have going on in my life. Dear Father, I ask you to move it out of the way and strengthen me. I ask you to be there for me and deliver me from whatever it is. Hallelujah. And the same way when he heals us and when he brings us through those trials and tribulations and through those nights that were just filled with tears, and when he lifts us up and he dries those tears and he just cups them and says, you know, let me hold on to your tears for you. Let me turn your sorrow into some gladness. Hallelujah. Let me remove the sadness right now and let me give you some joy. Let me just shine the sun. Let the sun shine right down on you. Hallelujah. Then at those times, we should be in conversation with our God at those times too. We should be rejoicing with those times. We should be praising the Lord. We should be telling somebody about the goodness of the Lord. We should be telling someone that when I thought I could not make it through and I really had thought some bad things, there's no way I could make it out of this. But you should be telling somebody that how now you look back and say, you know, I don't really know when it happened or how it happened, but all I know is that I got through it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he does it however he wants to work it out, and we have to glorify him and be the one to give him that praise. Hallelujah. The word tonight, if nothing else, is for us to remember that we, as the ones that call ourselves saints, we say that we're not religious. Now, the religious people, that have to be another show. But for the true ones that are trying to be Christians, trying to live a Christ-like life, we are the ones that the world is looking at, and we have to be the example. Regardless
Amen.
Of what we see around us, we have to be the example. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless, God bless. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God bless.
All right, all right.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
And that was Joshua?
Yes, ma'am.
Joshua
1, verse 6 through 9.
Okay, Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and brave. You will lead these people, and they will take the land as their very own. It is the land I promised with an oath to give their people long ago. Be strong and very brave. Make sure you obey the whole law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn away from it to the right or the left. Then you will have success everywhere you go. Never stop reading this scroll of the law. Day and night you must think about what it says. Make sure you do everything that is written in it. Then things will go well with you, and you will have great success. Here's what I'm commanding you to do. Be strong and brave, and do not be terrified. Do not lose hope. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you everywhere you go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Joshua 1:6-9. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Not lose hope.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Don't
Amen.
Be terrified. Yeah, he said.
Yeah.
Don't get discouraged. Hallelujah.
Yes.
For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I know why he put that in our spirit for tonight, for our scripture. Hallelujah, because I just put that on. I just see that as the way that Bill lived his life. It was
yes,
many things and many opportunities for him to be discouraged.
Yes.
For him to not... Even the people in the church, it was times
yeah.
that it did him wrong. But you know
yeah.
what? He still meditated on the word constantly,
yes,
night and
did.
Day. He kept it in his mouth. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He never swayed to the left or he never swayed to the right. And I know sometimes people in Blog Talk Land, I know you hear people say things like this about the deceased many times. But I'm honest. I'm really been honest. This was a person who stayed encouraged, you know. Even when he would get down sad about different things, he still just didn't waddle. He still wanted to smile and talk to you. He always had He was glad to see you. He was always glad to say something about the Lord. And this is just a word. He was strong and courageous. Even though the world may look at him and saw weaknesses in different spots, really, truly, to go through some of the things that Bill went through, he had to be this, exactly what it says, strong, brave, courageous.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And
about a month and a half ago, he would call me. We call each other late at night. And he always sang me a song, so he had wrote a song for me.
Oh, God.
And he loved to sing because he had a real heavy, deep voice. And he sung this song for me, and I was like, wow, Bill, that was so great. And he said, baby, now you like that? I said, yeah, sing some more, sing some more. And we just laid here, and he just sang to me and sang to me, and he could draw. Oh, my God, he could draw. So I told him that I was getting some stuff together because I wanted him to make a drawing for me. And he made a song of that drawing that I wanted him to draw for me. And he sang that to me. And he sang, and he sang. That's the last time I talked to him.
And you know, really, so that means I know he's probably got so many drawings and different things that he has, songs that he has wrote and just right there, and it would just be the world of how the world would just grow from the family just doing something with that stuff, you know?
The family couldn't see the goodness in him, though.
Yeah, but
family
that's
couldn't
what the
see
word
it.
Just told. But the family had problems.
Even his brother was talking to him bad and telling him, why do you sit on the phone talking to her? She don't mean you no good, and she's not a good person. And so he told me all this, and I will pray for him. Don't pay no attention to that, Bill. Just ignore that. I don't even want to hear that negative talk, you know.
Things that would try to do exactly what our scripture said, that would try to pull you away from the word. Things that would try to pull him away from the word and make him look the other way instead of stand meditating on the word. Hallelujah, thank God that he was such a strong person. Let's go back to, am I right? Remember when Carter Smith had their, that was the band. What did he sing in? He did graduate from Carter Smith, is that right?
Yes, and he sang in the choir.
He sang in the choir, okay. And I can't remember when I first met Bill. It just seemed like he's always been in our life. But I remember that he was always, if anybody looked like Shaft to me, it was Bill Sanford.
It was Bill.
I remember when he used to have, you know, the fro and the black leather, and he had the black leather gloves, and, you know, it was just, and
the
then
beard,
he had
the beard, the mustache.
That's right, the beard, the mustache, and he threw a Black Power sign up, you know, and it was just like, it was nobody bigger than, that had to be Shaft. He was just like, this is the real Shaft.
And the good thing about it, I got a picture to remember all of that.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I got so many pictures of him in his car and him doing the Black Power sign, and I got so many pictures of him. So many pictures of it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that car in just a few minutes. But just Bill Sanford. Now, he actually, most Bills are William. So is he actually William Sanford?
William Pillow Sanford.
Okay. And then, is he a junior?
No, Frank's a junior.
Yeah. Frank's the junior. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And Bill was never married, or was he married once?
Yes, he was married to Classy May from Lewisburg.
So he was married to Classy May, and they have one son. That is correct, right?
That is true.
Hmm.
Well, didn't come to the memorial.
The son did not?
The family did not even try to find him.
But he may or maybe, you know, maybe he found out about it then, because
I hope so.
Everybody, you know, word of mouth, and Bill was very, everybody
but he's
knew
in
Bill,
Florida,
maybe.
Somewhere.
Oh. Okay, and then his mother was deceased, is that correct?
Right, she died about 5 or 6 years ago. Actually, the tables have turned because the brothers and sisters treat him strange, but actually two of them, I think, has really started acting the way they treated Bill. Because I believe Frank and Staller are crazier. That's the way I seen it, that he was.
Yeah. There's definitely some touchy issues going on with individuals.
Yes.
You know, I know it was definitely some, definite syndrome. Something was going on with my brother that, couldn't stay still and moved around a lot. So, I don't know. It was definitely some issues. That's what's sure about that. So, at least I can. What is it? Whatever it is, I can't really say just started as an adult because I think that was all the way through. There was definitely some issues. However, with Bill, you know, you can sit down and talk to Bill all day long, you know. He was patient. Some of the words that just came to mind when I thought about Bill and I was thinking about for the show tonight, just some of the words that describe him, and I just thought about, you know, he was a friend. He was a friend.
Yeah, he was.
He was a friend. We talked about just some of the things. I remember just sitting at Mama's house, and, you know, he would just pull up outside there, and we would just sit and just talk. He would just come in and just socialize. He was a friend.
Yeah.
He was dependable. If
yes.
Bill said he
oh,
was going
goodness.
To be there, Bill was there. He was dependable. Again, we talked about his deep voice, so I can just think back of that laugh. just that deep laughter. He always kind of wanted to laugh. He would rather be laughing than crying, you know. That's right,
a beautiful
smile.
Mm-hmm.
Never really met any strangers. He was always willing to, you know, just to meet somebody. And, you know, like I said, he was Shaft to me. He was Shaft. So that's some of the things that come to mind when I think about Bill Sanford, just a beautiful person within and without. And I think that he was one that actually found unconditional love. I think that even though, you know, he was done wrong in many situations, he would speak of those things, but he never would harp down on those things. And I believe truly in my heart that any one of these people that have done him wrong ever come to him with a forgiving heart and ask for forgiveness, he would have been more than happy to forgive them because that's just who he was.
He
had a forgiving heart. He never wanted to hold anything against anybody.
Especially,
it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, especially many nights, and especially since my husband passed, he would call me and we would lay up here many nights talking, and he would start telling me about things that happened back in the 70s and 60s and stuff with guys in Pulaski, and I would be halfway asleep listening to Bill telling me his stories back in the, how they got stopped by the police and everything happened. They blamed it on him and how he tried so hard to get Norman Dawson and some of those other guys to love him, but they never did like him. They always talked about him. Many nights I sat up here and prayed with him and told him don't worry about it. And then just out of the blue, about 3 months ago, he asked me, he said, how many husbands did you kill? I said, what? He said, my brother said you killed both of your husbands. I said, Bill, I have not killed anybody.
They brother said, you were mean like that. You probably killed both of them husbands. I said, no, I ain't killed either one of them, Bill. So we laughed about that. But he said something very strange to me about 3 months ago. And I was thinking about that today. Why did he say that to me? When I called him, he said, well, maybe you shouldn't call me so much because something's getting ready to happen. And I said, why you say that, Bill? I call you all the time at nighttime. He said, well, something's getting ready to happen, so maybe you shouldn't call me so much. I said, oh, I'll always be there for you. He said, you know what? You've always said that. I said, I told you. He said, I just cannot believe when you come from Atlanta, you come and knock on my door. I said, I told you, I'll always be there for you. I always come and check on you. So he was always excited because every time I go to Columbia, if I wasn't visiting Freeman, I was visiting Bill. And I just beat on the door, beat on the door, beat on the door. So he was always so happy that he couldn't believe I was still coming to visit him.
Yeah, I remember the last time I was home, I think it was. No,
yeah, we went
maybe
over
it wasn't
there.
The last time I was
not
home.
The last
right,
time.
It was
that
maybe
it was July.
When I was there for 4th of July. Yeah.
4th of July. We
That's
went
right.
over there.
We went over there then. Pulled it all the way around to the back, but he wasn't
yep.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, surely did. I thought about that the other day. I remember seeing a picture. You showed me a picture of him, and I hadn't saw Bill in so many years, and I didn't even know who he was on the picture. And then when you told me, I was like, oh, okay, because now Bill would look just like his father. And he looked long and tall like his father.
Yeah,
and Bill
he
didn't
lost
used to
weight.
Look that tall like that, you know?
Mm,
he had lost
mm,
that
mm.
weight, and so now he was tall.
He was
like, wow,
like
this. Right, he surely did. Yeah. I'm not sure why I didn't, maybe because I always just call Mr. Sanford Mr. Sanford. Mm. But I didn't realize that he was Frank Sanford Sr., huh?
Yes, he was Frank Sanford Sr.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Frank is Frank Sanford Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill looks just like him. Oh, my goodness, Bill looks just like him.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Wow.
The older, the more, see, when Mr. Sanford died, Bill began to take on his look more.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, because when Mr. Sanford died, Bill, part of Bill died, too.
Right, yeah.
It's so bad when he told me, I don't know how long I'm going to make without my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I began to talk to him and help him and pray with him, tell him, Bill, you're going to be all right, Bill. Well, you know, I never really got over my mother either. And
yeah,
then
he
I began
didn't.
To tell him, yeah, and he didn't. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. So he kind of suffered a great deal when Mr. Sanford died. Mr. Sanford tried to prepare him. He tried to talk to him, tried to pray with him, tell him, son, you're going to be all right. Tried to get Stoss, Alita, and Frank to get closer to him, but they was just always something mentally wrong. And so.
Yeah, and that may not have been a thing. But once you, at that point, since they hadn't been that close siblings where they would confide in each other and stuff, it probably wouldn't have been the right time, you know, when. Mr. Sanford was leaving, but how old was, how long, first of all, has Mr. Sanford been gone?
He died approximately 5 years.
About 5 years ago. And, you know, Bill was 62 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know he was around 62.
So he was in that Vans era and stuff, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I knew he was around 6 because Alita is the oldest. She's older than him.
Okay.
He
graduated
62,
from Carter Smith High School and attended Columbia State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his, parents were Frank and Eva Zoe Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Starla Zoe came from because I always thought that was such a cool name, Starla Zoe. So her mom was even cooler. It was Eva Zoe. Awesome.
Uh-huh. Which was Miss Ruth Harmon's sister.
So, of course, they have it a little wrong here in the papers because they have survivors include daughters, Starla Zoe Safford, and Stella Ingman, and brother Frank Safford Jr.
Alita Inman.
Well, it should be. But in here, they have that survivors include daughters. First of all, Starla and them is not his daughters. They're his sisters.
I hadn't even read that in the paper.
They have daughters, Starla Zoe Sanford and Stella Ingman. And it's not Stella, it's Starlita, right?
Lita.
Yeah.
They got Henry down there.
Well, and they've got, and brother, Frank Sanford Jr., that's all they have. They don't have his son at all. Didn't even mention a child or anything.
Oh,
so,
wow.
That's the only thing it has in there. But, William Pillow Sanford. No picture.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have saw a picture.
Maybe they didn't have an updated one. I could have sent them from mine.
Maybe not. But wow, God bless. Let's talk about something else, Bill. We was talking about it earlier today. I remember he was. Where was he working at when he would? He was working midnight shift, and we would have to be at school. I don't know what time, but he would come through and pick us up and take us to high school.
There's a plant that used to be out there by. Where the Bogan Alley is now, it's about Mama's house.
Okay.
There used to be a plant right there. He worked at that plant right there. And he would get off of that plant all around 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30, 7, and come by and take us to school. Then he'd go home, go to bed. Then I would get out of school. I didn't have but one class when I was in the 12th grade.
Uh-huh.
He would come to Central and pick me up, bring me home.
Wow.
He'd come back sometime in the evening time. He sure would.
Wow. Yeah, he was there. I can remember me, you, and Sheila. We'd be sitting there waiting on him. He would pick us up in the little red car, and we would always, on our way to school, we'd stop at this store, and I still see the store. Stop at that little store, and for the life of me, why me and Sheila, and probably you, would get almost a donut and a soda almost every morning for our breakfast. And I am standing here now, still, all of these years later, probably still looking at those same donuts that I'm trying to work off now. Donuts and a soda every day. I used to get a bear claw.
Every day.
How in the world did we do that? Freaking day. And then we
Bill,
would go to the...
Because Bill loved honey buns. So he'd buy him a honey bun every day.
Get him a honey bun.
Yeah,
to have
him a honey bun.
Isn't that a mess? And we would go on to school. Every day we would do this, people.
Yeah.
That is something.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he sure would.
Yeah,
and I never forget when he moved to Lewisburg with Classy May, and he called and told me, this was me and Bobby together, he called and told me that Classy May had jumped on him, and if I could ride back over to Lewisburg with him to help him, I said, what am I going to do? He said, she hit me in the head with a pan. So I rode back over to Lewisburg with him, and she jumped on him. And I stepped in front of him, and I told him, if you hit him again, you got to hit me. And this girl was wedged on me. And Bill came and run behind her and pushed her down on the ground because she was getting ready to hit me. Me and Bill jumped in the car, and Bill speeded off.
Wow. Yeah, it had to be a situation for Bill to be speeding because that was not something that Bill did.
We sure did. I defended him against Classy May, and we got in the car real quick and me and Bill laughed all the way down, all the way back to Columbia.
Wow.
I was over the house to see Frank, and Classy May came over and cursed him out. And Frank jumped in, and so Frank and Classy May got in a big argument. Then Mr. Sanford came out in the driveway and told her she had to leave, and she cursed out Mr. Sanford, and Bill really got mad then. And Classmate left, but that was a big fight. All of us was against Classmate.
Wow.
Yeah.
God bless now. Okay, so when we get out of high school. I'm trying to think. I know he had to probably be at my graduation. I just don't remember. But.
Yeah.
So now when I'm having my first child, I remember. Of course, just real quickly, it was so freezing cold, of course, that I was really glad that I was way past my due date, and I was so glad that you were going out to the hospital with me that day. And I remember we stopped downtown, and we met our other sister, Dee, and she was just like, it's so cold, you all better be careful. And we got on out there to the hospital, and when they said they would have to keep me, caught the bus, that's right. And I remember when we got off of the bus, the driver was like, you all be very careful walking down there, because
I'm going
to pop. You know, and when we got in that Baptist hospital, and I was so glad they were talking about they would keep me. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I'm laying up in there, and you're taking pictures. And we got all the machines and stuff, and you're not taking pictures. And so now the baby, and we're there, and I remember people kept in the room saying, Bill is still around there just watching the baby. He is just looking at the window. Everybody's just coming up congratulating him, and he's just like, yeah, you know, proud papa, and, you know, look at our baby. And every time that they would wheel me around there to see the baby, he was there, and he was just so proud. And he would give me a big hug, and, you know, he was like, you did such a good job, sis, and look at you, girl. And he'd be like, oh, she's okay. I got my eye on her. She's fine. And even if I was standing there, people was walking up saying, which one is yours? And he was just telling them. And I remember you all telling me, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Just don't bust him. Just say, you know. And I was just like, no, you know, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to say anything. I was just so amazed at how patient he was. He just stood there just watching her just over it just all day long. And
yes,
then when
did.
It was time for me to go home, I can remember him pulling his little red Chevrolet, pulling it up to the door, and she was dressed in Uncle Charles and Aunt Henrietta hat. Gave her this cute little yellow knitted kind of crochet outfit, and I dressed her up in there, and her hair was so beautiful, and everybody was telling me, you know, all the little things, don't brush her hair, and don't do this and that, and I was like, okay. We get in the car, and Bill is just so helpful, and we get in, and he had all of the, now this is Shaft straight up, the car is just lined with all kind of fur, and it's just all on the ceiling, and everywhere it's just shag fur, and we get in there, and all on the steering wheel is shagged out, and the big dice, and it's February, so it's freezing outside, but he has the car just baking. And then we just like, oh, but Bill, you know, it's a little hot. No, the baby, you know, the baby needs to stay warm. And then, you know, he was driving so slow all the way down.
All the way.
Like, oh, my gosh. And once we got to Mama's house, you know, he ran over there to open the door to help me out with the baby. And he just holding my arm the whole way up the steps with the baby, you know. We can't let this baby fall. And, oh, my God, that was Bill's baby. On that day, February 15, 1980, I delivered the baby, and James Dumas fathered the baby. But Bill Sanford had a baby that day. That was his baby.
He had a baby that day.
And I'm standing here now and looking at that baby right now, standing in the kitchen right now. Now the baby is, you know, almost 31 years old. But he had a baby that day. That was his baby. And I would never take that moment away from him, because that was just a remarkable thing.
Every time he'd ask me, how's my daughter doing? He loved Lamaker to the last moment. He loved Lamaker.
Yeah, he did. He never ever forgot her name or anything. He always remembered, you know, Lamaker. That's the baby. No, he Bill Sanford had a baby that day, and
yeah,
I just thank him for being. How many people did you find? I mean, you all are my backbones, you know, and Dumas was the backbone, but none of them stood around that window like that. None of us went through that Bill went through. Bill, I was just, praise the Lord, Bill. God, he was just awesome. He was just awesome.
Had a heart of gold, honey.
A heart of gold. Yep. And before I had actually had the baby, let's go back a little bit. You remember when we moved, it's just so ironic. So when we moved and now we're going to college, and we're staying there in the boarding house with, I guess, Miss Fields, or maybe with Daddy, one of the two. I don't know who we was with. Bill gets a job in Nashville, so he's now coming back towards Harry. And on his breaks, he comes over and, you know, chill out with us. And, oh, my gosh. That was some fun times. Was Wayne Barner working over there with him?
No, because Wayne worked at Fitz. That's how I met Wayne as a security guard at Fitz.
He was at Fitz. Okay. So he was on the street at Fitz. Okay.
There's some other guys, though, that worked at Meharry with Bill that was there when I worked there. Because they used to ask me about my brother, and I knew that's what they was talking about with Bill. Bill used to clean up floors at nighttime with him.
Yeah. He sure did. It's just a minute night, so I can just see us just sitting, laughing, and talking, you know. Just our friendship, just the distance even didn't even stop us. Now he ended up in the same place we are, you know. Still friends. And that's just a remarkable thing. And then, let's see.
He had a room down there on Buchanan. He had found him a room in a house on Buchanan. And that's where he lived at.
Wow.
He lived in Nashville for a little while, and then he moved on back to Columbia.
Yeah, that does seem familiar, too. You're right.
Uh-huh.
It surely does. Yeah. But he always knew me, and I thank you, Bill, for that. He never pretended like his brother. He never pretended like he didn't know me. He always remembered me. Where his brother, I remember when I came to town from Omaha, and he was at your apartment one day. He came over to your apartment, and I remember you telling him, "Hey, this is Vaughn. Vaughn's home." And he was just like, "Vaughn?" "Come on, Frank. Don't be acting like you don't know me. Vaughn, let me think. And I guess you don't know my husband either. You're Dumas. Dumas. Hmm, I don't know." Bill is the smart one. Bill is the educated one. I never would even have to even, you know, Frank and Bill didn't play those games and stuff like that. Bill knew me, and regardless of where, you know, Bill knew me.
Yep.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, that car was a classic. And I really wonder, what did he finally ever do with it? Because he kept it forever.
I think that was his car from high school or something. It was, yeah. He bought that car in 69. I believe he said 60. It was a 65, and he bought it in 67 or something like that. 67, 68, something like that. He bought it.
Wow.
It was a 65, and you know Frank had found him one. You remember that little car Frank used to have?
Oh, that was cool. His was navy blue, two doors. Oh my! It sure was. And his, and it had this. You know, the sound of it, you knew he was coming. You knew when Frank was in the neighborhood. You know? You knew when he was in the neighborhood. It was just like, wow. Yeah, he surely did. I forgot about Frank. That he sure did.
I got
he
a picture of that
too.
Car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
wow.
I got pictures. Uh-huh. I sure do. But
yeah,
Bill's transmission had went out in his car, and
mm-hmm.
he gave it to John Henry Easley over at Happy Hollow. And he never did fix it up for him and took his money or something. I think the car was still sitting over there. And then when Mr. Sanford died, Mr. Sanford had, he took Mr. Sanford's car. But
okay,
I don't think
okay.
Bill ever got that red car back yet.
Hmm. Yeah. I bet you anybody who, when you say the word Bill Sanford and transportation, they're going to think of him in that red car.
Yep. Yeah.
That was for...
Yeah.
So that in season, it went out of season, and it came back in style and back out again. And Bill
That's
was still, he was still pulling it, boy. That thing, and it still looked good too.
Yeah, it still looked good.
He took such good care of it, and
yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of that. You know, it was hot as everything up in there. You know.
Yep. Even Mr. Sample's car, Gary. He did Mr. Sample's car the same way. Put carpet all that shag all over Mr. Sample's car.
Mm-hmm. See, I would love now and, you know, for my kids and my grandkids to just to show them that car, to get inside of there and to see that,
uh-huh.
you know, shagged out car and stuff. I can imagine they would think, because I know how we were, like, whoa, Bill,
uh-huh.
look at
right.
that. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really something. That's really something. So.
Yeah, I used to, I know just about 3 months ago, I tried to get Bill to come down here. I said, Bill, I'll pay for your ticket. Just come down here to Atlanta. Same way I used to beg Freeman. I used
uh-huh.
to beg Bill to come down here. Just catch the bus and come down here and get away from Columbia. And, oh, I'm coming. But you know what? Bill told me so many things that he had. I got to the place, I just didn't believe him. Because he told me he had, what did he tell me he had? At one time he told me he had AIDS. And he got healed from that. I said, well, I know that can happen. Okay. Then he told me he had so many illnesses that, when
yeah.
he told me the last time he had cancer, I just kind of washed it off and said, okay, Bill, okay, because he told me he done had back cancer, he done had cancer in his foot, he done had cancer in his hand, and so he had told me so many times he had cancer, I just kind of didn't even pay no attention to it this time, but I guess that's what he died of. I don't really even know. I guess that's what he died of, cancer.
So
I don't
now
know.
He had been in the hospital, right?
You know what? I didn't even know it was in the hospital. I just know it'd been on my mind. I had tried to call him, but I didn't think anything about it. Because many times I try to call him or go by there, and he'd just call me later on. But I noticed this last time when I tried to call him is when I had those two dreams. I didn't think anything about it. I didn't know he was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know he was even sick. You know, I was sitting up here thinking, Lord, at least, but that's, I don't know why he thought that, because I was saying to myself, at least Frank could have called me and let me know he was in the hospital, but Frank would never did that, so.
Yeah.
I know, I didn't know he was in the hospital. I sure didn't even know he was in the hospital. But I guarantee
yeah.
you, when I had those dreams, Bill was in that hospital then.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the dreams are something. What a precious thing that God just shared those
yeah.
things with you. That's just a precious thing.
I went to church in Mount Lebanon. I was in Mount Lebanon. I said, Frank, where's Bill? And the dog, where's Bill? And he said, Frank, so here. Yeah. And then I looked around. There was a casket sitting up front. I walked up front, looked down in the casket. There was nobody in there. And I said, Where's Bill? Then I woke up, and then the next time, me and Mr. Sapp was sitting out there in front of his yard just laughing and talking and having a good time. And Frank came, you know how he walked, and
uh-huh.
I said, Frank, where's Bill? Where's Bill? And then he didn't say anything, and me and Mr. Sanford just started laughing real hard. Mr. Sanford said something, I said something, and then we started laughing, and then I woke up. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you Bill was in the hospital when God gave me those dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the casket was empty because it wasn't time yet, but
yeah, the casket was empty. Uh-huh.
But you still couldn't find him because he was already preparing himself to get there. So.
Sure was. Yep, sure was. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mr. Bill Sanford.
God knows if I knew that he was in the hospital, I would have went to go see him. If I knew he was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And then, just real quickly, Betty. You know, I remember when he was meeting Betty. And there was somebody else of your friends that he was liking.
Was it Karen?
I know it wasn't Karen. I don't know who was it. Why Bill was like,
it was Maddie.
Maddie?
He loved Maddie. Oh my God, he loved Maddie.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah. And then if I back all the way up, how am I forgetting? Didn't Bill date Dee?
Huh? Yeah.
So it was the two sisters, two brothers thing.
I know. And then everybody used to think I was dating Bill, because me and Bill was always somewhere together.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, they surely did,
Oh, I've been everywhere with Bill. I mean, everywhere. Yeah.
And then as the show, before the show ends, just to wrap it up, you know, we also just want to just say God bless you, and we ask his loving comfort arms to be around the family of Miss Lisa Yvette Green Crutcher.
Yeah.
47 years of age, passed away on Saturday, January 22nd, in Illinois.
Was that just in the paper?
Yes, yes. I don't remember her, and I may have known her in my lifetime, but I don't seem like I did. But yes, her picture's in there, so God bless her and her family. Also, just since we're just saying God bless us to the ones who have passed on. And so, again, we mention her, and we mention, just want to mention Junette Perkins, you know, Edmonton.
Wow.
Hampton Perkins, and,
yes.
Just another shot for that. And
right.
Did you say Harry?
Huh?
Oh, I thought you said Harry.
I was getting ready to say, ain't Raina. Mm. Just see, I've just been so
that's
many
right.
just right here. Ain't
yeah,
Raina.
That's right. Yeah. Most definitely. We would definitely just remember her. And then since
we're having a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Always having a real hard time.
Well, we don't want her to, I know how it is. God, I can't tell nobody what to think about.
Yeah.
In any stages of mourning, but again, we can't be selfish either, because I heard that she had something amputated, some part of her leg or the whole leg amputated or something. And, both of them. Oh, okay. See, and, we don't want her to be, hindrance, because what I remember of her, she was always an outgoing person, and she was kind of person that never really met strangers either. So now she can be that, her spirit can still linger and go back to there. Now, here on this side, it that spirit had got to her body, had got so weak, it couldn't hold all of that high spirit person that was still inside of her. So she was in that nursing home, or and so
Yeah. That's not. I'm sure she was miserable there. So now, you know, she had to be released, let the body stay here, but that spirit now is still doing what we remember the glorious, exciting parts about her.
Yeah.
And she was just out meeting people at churches and playing the piano, you know, sometimes off key to play, you know, just that person now is still eternity can will be in. So we just thank God for that. And I know, and I pray right now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to comfort Nola and give her what she needs to get through this here. But I know it's not an easy thing, you know, but God bless. God bless her for that.
That's right.
And the same with all of them. It's just been so many people and things that are going on. Mama was telling me the lady in California, I think she's a Burt King.
Barbara
talked about her, you know.
Barbara Jean.
You know, God bless her and her family.
You know what? Her daughter, you know what? I don't know her, but her daughter used to live in Columbia when we lived on 10th Street, and me and sister used to go play with her daughter up on 11th Street. And I was telling Mama about that last night. I said, Deborah Scruggs, that's not Deborah Scruggs' mother. She said, yes. I said, I don't remember Deborah Scruggs' mother. Deborah Scruggs lived up on 11th Street with her grandparents, Frank Renfro and his wife. And me and sister used to go from 10th Street to 11th Street up there to play with Deborah. And then Deborah moved to California. And I was telling Mama, I haven't seen Deborah since she moved to California. Me and sister used to walk up there and play with her.
I definitely remember that name. I remember that name.
Deborah Scruggs.
Well, I don't know why you all didn't take me with you. But,
I don't
I do remember that name, most definitely,
Me and sister used to go up there to the grandparents' house and play with her all the time. And then Mama said her mother lived there at that house, but when me and sister used to go up there, she lived up there with her grandparents. I didn't know her mother. And but when Uncle Charles told me last night, said, you know Barbara Jean died? I said, who? He said, Barbara Jean. I said, I don't know her. He said, that's your cousin? I said, I don't know her, Uncle Charles. Uncle Charles said, well, she lived in California, and I know your mama know it. I said, you know what, Uncle Charles, I just got to talk to Mama. And Mama didn't tell me nobody died in California. I guarantee you Mama don't know it. He said, well, that's Carolyn Renfro and Mamie Renfro's sister. I said, I don't know. I know Mamie and Carolyn. But when I called Mama and Mama was talking about it, I said, well, that Deborah Scruggs, Mama? She said, yeah. I said, oh, my God, I haven't seen Deborah Scruggs since they lived on 11th Street. It's been, oh, my God, it's been a long time since I've seen Deborah Scruggs, but I never did know her mother. But me and sister showed me, used to go up at those people's house and play with her. Mama
and
told
Daddy
me that Karen died, Karen Hardison, and Deborah was best friends. I said, well, how in the world did Karen meet Deborah Scruggs? Because Deborah Scruggs is older than Karen Hardison, and Deborah Scruggs been in California for years. So they may maybe when she came back here, they met.
Yeah, she said Deborah comes back all the time.
So they met sometime.
Deborah has never stopped coming back, and you know, so somewhere around the thing, they must have met.
Yeah, they must have met. Yeah.
Wow. And who else is it that we're in remembrance of right now? It's definitely been a lot of
Brenda Fry's sister.
Brenda Fry's sister, right? I'm not for sure.
Anya Coleman's
I'm
daddy.
Exactly.
James Coleman.
That's right, James Coleman. Yes. God bless him. I remember him. To me, when I was, it's really something as out of the child's eyes of a child, the way you look at things, because I always used to think, what a cool-looking couple, because he was real tall and just smooth, dark skin, you know, and I love a man in a uniform, you know, and he was a police officer. That was before he became the top detective or whatever. You know, he was a police officer. His skin was so dark and smooth.
Mm-hmm. And then his wife, it was like he was the chocolate. She was the vanilla. She was tall and just light-skinned, and she used to wear sunglasses. And I used to be like, what a perfect couple. I mean, it's just like the chocolate and vanilla together.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then they had the two tall daughters, and it was just like, you know, that's the bomb right there. I always say, you know, I want my husband, he got to be, maybe that's why I started liking tall men, just like,
It surely was so sweet.
Oh, she was such a nice woman. I thought she was such a pretty woman, too.
Yeah.
I can just remember her. And she used to smoke cigarettes, and I can remember her in her little, she would always be in her usher's uniform. And
she was over at Central Baptist.
And she just always was so sweet. Always was so sweet.
Always.
I told Tanya about that, too, when I talked to her during the period of James. Then I was talking to Tanya, and I was telling her, I said, you know what? I told her about her mom and her dad. I thought they were just a perfect couple, you know, with their two daughters and stuff. And I told her, I thought your mama was one of the prettiest women, and she was just so nice and sweet. Just always so nice and sweet. So most definitely.
And children's
them
father died. And they
did not
children.
Know him. And did not know him. I remember
either.
Their mother. I don't think I've ever saw their father, but God bless them as they, you know, as they go through the loss of their father. And I would love to see Ann Childress. Ann Childress, if you're out there, I would love to see you. I thought you and your sister Avis were some of the nicest people.
I know.
You know, I think they were such nice girls, just genuinely nice people, and that's what I love, nice people. And you know, I would love to see them. I saw a picture of Avis because Reggie's. Some year, 30th class reunion or something. So there's a lot of pictures of Avis and stuff at those class reunions. She's still a pretty Avis. And Anne was a beautiful girl. You know, I would love to see. Between Anne Childress and, what's his name, Clyde Ward? I would love to see them. You know, Clyde Ward, where are you at? If you get a hold of this show, I'll let us know, still, okay? Clyde Ward, my goodness.
Yep.
So, and just remembrance of everyone, and just letting them know you'll never be forgotten. We will always remember you, Bill. There's always a place for you in our hearts, and thank God that it's not over. It's not over because we will, you know, we're going to rejoice and pick up just where we left, and it won't be with a broken down body. It won't be that a memory loss but it's going to be one of the things that I just think about that you always looked for in life and wanted and just wanted to be loved. And I just thank God now that you have eternal love all around you and you wanted to be accepted. And just thank God that you are totally accepted into his kingdom and that he's prepared a place just for your acceptance, that you will be accepted. And now all the things that you've always wanted, your heart is bursting open because you never even imagined that you could receive that and so much more. But right now, absence of this body means absence of this world, but you're so present with the Lord. So that means that it didn't stop. It just started a new beginning for you. And where you're at, you know that we all got to come. And so I look forward to that day when we can all get back together and it will be on a new record. And then I think about also, like I said, you know, he never got over the death of his mom, so I can imagine his dad, too. But, you know, he still hung at that cemetery of his mom, and that woman had been dead for over 3 years, you know?
Oh,
and
over 30, 40 years.
Yes, and he was still at that cemetery just like she had died last week. I can imagine what it was, you know, when he lost his dad 5 years ago. That I can imagine the pain that he's still in that house, you know, their house. He's still walking around in the memories of they have in that house. So I just he's there with them though. He's with them. He's now he is finally reunited. And right now, he gets to be an only child of theirs, you know. Nobody else is there. He's the first one there.
That's right.
So He's there. He's there mm-hmm. with his mom, and he's there with his dad, and mm-hmm. and then on top of that, he gets to just see all the things that he didn't understand or couldn't
yeah.
figure out. I don't even think the Holy Spirit. I don't think God is going to have to explain. People say, when I get to heaven, I want God to tell me, you know, how did this happen or why did this happen and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think just to be in his presence, all
yeah.
understanding is going to be revealed
yeah.
to us.
That's
all
right.
understanding is going to be revealed to us. Why didn't we happen? It made, you know, the choices that we made down the road that let this happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
here we don't think it's our fault that some of these things happen. We
right.
just think, God,
right.
why did you allow these things to happen?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't
mm-hmm.
think back of choices that we took to get us in that situation to begin with. So I just think
right.
all of the things is going to be revealed to us. And,
mm-hmm.
and so I just thank God for, again, William Sanford. God bless
yeah.
you. I just want to just quickly mention another woman, Lori Grecken. Lori Grecken is not dead. She's still on this side. And if you ever saw a fighter, it is with Lori Grecken. She's been suffering from pancreatic cancer for about three years. We may be going on 3 years now. This is a warrior. This is a warrior. And she has just... She's fighting. She still gets up and comes to work every day. She travels and does all these different leadership classes and different things like that. And so she has not been able to get to San Antonio. She didn't make it last year. Someone had to come in her place. But she called, and we do these webinars where she's still doing the leadership things over the web. So we'll just continue to pray for her. And we did get word today that she's been in stage four for a minute, and she's still been believing, and we're believing with her. And we got word today that the report didn't come back like we thought it would, and so it looks like it's two more spots on, I think, her liver, and it's two more on her lungs or something, and I don't know, but. So she just sent out the word through email. She just said she just needed everybody to be on board with her in prayer.
Yeah,
she said she needs everyone in the company and all states. We have six different states that our company represents. And she said she just wanted everybody to know that she is not through yet. And
yeah.
I just, oh, my God, if she can have that kind of strength and patience, you know.
Right.
I just beg everyone to just join a board and just say a prayer for Lori Grecken. She's in Illinois. Just whatever it is that, dear Father, that it is that she needs, or whatever it is that she has, all of her talents that she's using. Thank God that the ones you have given her, and that she's just using them for you, Jesus. I thank you for that, and I ask you to strengthen those talents and all that is around her. When we just learn something from her and live what we're learning
mm-hmm.
from her, may we live that thing out. And I know you're a healer. I know that
there's
nothing inside of her that is too big for you. It's nothing inside of her that is too powerful for you to just take out and just fill her up with your healing powers, dear Father.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know that she's yours, and I know that you're wanting her to be with you, too. And I know that she has a job to do here before she leaves. We don't know when that time is, but, oh, if she's standing on the battlefield fighting, I stand right beside her, Jesus. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I fight the fight with her against any cancerous cells in her body.
Yes.
I don't care what the doctors are saying. But we are seeing by faith, we're seeing you. And I thank you for just the opportunity to meet her, just to be in her presence, and just know that, oh, my God, this woman just has something that she's here for a reason. She's here for a reason.
Right.
She's
That's
here
right.
for a reason. God bless us. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, again, for Lori Grecken. And then before we close, we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing over our bodies. And just ask you to go inside of each and every one of us, dear Father. And
Lord.
If you find anything that shouldn't be, just take it out and strengthen us, Jesus, in those areas. Just fill us with your anointing and just fill us up with your power, dear Father. Just
breathe on us, Jesus. Let your holiness just rain down on us, dear Father, and just forgive us for our sins as we have destroyed our temples in so many ways, from our mind to our physical body, dear Father.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ask you to forgive us for those things, Jesus. For we know not or knew not what we was doing to get ourselves in the situations that we're in. But we extend our hands out and ask you to just grab hold. And I know you're waiting for us, Jesus. And just carry us out of those bad things that we've done. Carry us into clean health, dear Father. Carry us into your healing powers, Jesus. And we give you the praise, and we love you, Jesus. And
yes.
One last person, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the life of James Marquise Dumas, dear Father.
Amen.
I thank you, Jesus, for my son. And I just thank you, Jesus, that whatever it is that, you know, wherever he's at, I know he's with you, dear Father. And I just thank you that his memory will never be dull or fading in any way in my life. And I thank you, Jesus, that every day gets better. Every day it gets better as far as me just thinking about him and me just loving on him. I just thank you that every day gets better. As a matter of fact, I think I'm about ready to go through his stuff and go through his clothes and separate some of his stuff. And that's just because of you, Jesus. That's just because your strength and your power and just I just thank you, Jesus. I just really, really thank you because you are a powerful God and you're a loving God and you're a meek and a kind God.
Amen.
I just thank you, Jesus, that we can just we have your words and we can go to it. And I don't have to go to a mediator to get to you, but all thank you, Jesus, that I can come to you straight just as I am. I don't have to wait until I get myself all fixed up and until I get myself all finished with my bad habits before I come to you. But you said I can come to you and you would fix up my bad habits. You would get me all turned around to where I need to be. You would get me on the straight and the narrow way. Because if I seek you first and your righteousness, then you said that you would carry me to where I need to be. So when I keep trying to fix myself up, I know not what I look like fixed up. But I know if I come to you, then the real rougher, you would get me where I need to be. So I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for using me and allowing me to be a vessel, dear Father, that to deliver your word and to be there for your people as they're healing and just call out what it is that you have actually appointed me to do, dear Father. I thank you for those things, for trusting me with your children, trusting me with your word. And I my verse is what you have given to me is Isaiah 61. And you told me that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive, and to release from darkness for the prisoners. You've sent me, God, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, not our vengeance, but the vengeance of our God. And to comfort all who mourn. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have sent me to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair.
Yes.
And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of your splendor. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that that's who he's called me to be. So as you reach out and whatever your needs may be, if you get this broadcast in the, I thank you for the ones that are in the chat room. I know you like Bill Sanford, but it's something that kept you here through the whole program in the chat room. So God bless you all that is in the chat room right now.
Amen.
I pray that Bill's spirit is something that you can feel, and I pray that everyone will find at least one friend in this lifetime measures up to what Bill Sanford was. Hallelujah. At least just one friend, and then you found a friend indeed. In closing, my sister, what do you have to say?
In closing, I would just like to say I thank God for another true brother and friend of mine that God has called home. When God called Freeman home, he left a void in my life because I used to late at night and talk to Freeman. And then I just used to call Bill and talk to him late at night and talk to him. I just thank God for just preparing my heart and showing me those two dreams and not really knowing that something was going on, just thought it was a dream. But I just thank God that I thought about it, and how I thought about it, and I said, well, God, he's home now. He's at rest now. He don't have to run from church to church and try to get approved by this person and church people talking about him and won't let him sing. And but, God, he's home with you now, and I just thank God that you took him home, Lord, to rest, Lord, to be at rest and no more worrying.
Yeah.
He's resting now. And I just thank God for you opening up my heart, Lord, just let me be his friend, Lord.
Yeah.
Let me be his friend, being able to talk to him and having a heart that I care for people, Lord.
Thank
that I care for the people, Lord. And
Thank you, Jesus. I just thank God that he just allowed me to just to meet someone in my life like that. I think that I kind of grouped it together for him, and yeah, wow. Still, you know, that just kind of, you know, it's almost surreal in a way, you know, that you know, Freeman, gone, you know, but yeah, Freeman, Bill, I think that, you know, Harry, you know, just Harry,
yeah.
You know, Harry's gone.
Wow,
you know, so, yeah, just to, you know, never take anyone for granted,
take any
friendship for granted, and you know, on the real tip, when you hear of my home going, you know, just I just pray that that someone will just sit back and have something nice to celebrate and just laugh about me too, and you know, nobody wants to worry about me because you know I'm just another soldier gone on home, and you know every soldier wants to go home. As you're fighting on the battlefield, those soldiers are there for their country fighting, but every soldier wants to look forward to the time when they can go home, and so that's what these soldiers have done. They have went home. He has really he's hit the lottery, his ticket. It was his time, and it was time to go home and get his reward. Every man will get his reward according to his works and his deeds that he's done. So
that's right.
I don't have to worry about somebody else's, but according to what I've done and the life that I've lived and who I've helped. And I've already spoken of what he's called me and chosen me to do. I know my purpose, and it's Isaiah 61. So whether I live in that purpose is what I got to pay for one day. So,
amen.
If you see me out of line that would hinder me from getting my true reward, then, yes, so, you know, I beg of you to pull me to the side and, you know, speak the word as God has given it to you to speak to me, to show me the way I'm out of line, because I want to be right. I want to be whole. I don't want to be a fake Christian. I want to be right because, you know, if you look warm, then, you know, he said, I will spit you out of my mouth. And I want to be in the presence of my God. And I know that this life is real. If nothing else is real, and I have to go from here one day, and I don't know when that day is going to be, so I want to be right with God. I want to be real. I beg each and every person. So, you know, I still hear young people say, well, you know, I don't have insurance because, you know what, you know, the old people need insurance, you know. When I get older, I'm going to turn to the Lord, you know. When I get older, I'm going to do this and do that, you know. But we don't know how old your old is, though. You know, your old may be, you know, different than somebody else's old, so. You know, just don't take life for granted. Don't take your mother and your father for granted, children.
That's right.
Be obedient unto your parents, you know. Sisters and brothers, just don't take each other for granted, you know. And don't let it be that you have to come and look down over somebody as they lay in the casket and pray for them, you know. Go ahead and whatever it is, even if you have to agree to disagree, but live life in love. Love is so important. And again, as we remember the things that was important that gave this brother the reputation of being a brother in the Lord, of being someone that we love and can just depend on, try those things ourselves. We should all try to be those things in our life. And that is a person who has laughter in their life, still has laughter in their life. A person who can say that they are dependable. Bill was dependable. Are you dependable? Can someone depend on you? And a person who is patient.
Phil was a patient person.
Yeah.
Just a patient person, you know. And, you know, someone who's a friend, not an associate, but just a friend. You know, someone who's going to be their friend today. Are you in a position to be that friend today? Hallelujah. And I know when you're a friend to somebody, it's many times that they are wide open, they're vulnerable, and you could take advantage of them in so many ways. But a true person that's going to be a friend would not take advantage of you. They cover you. They cover your vulnerability. So that's exactly what we should be if we're calling ourselves a friend. If we're calling ourselves a Christian, we got to be a friend to those who don't even know Christ. And we got to cover them because they're vulnerable right now, because they're out in the world. So we can't get upset with them when they're doing the things that they've only known to do. They're doing the things that the world is asking them to do. But we as Christians have to be the ones that cover them in their vulnerability and don't destroy them by, you know, look at you and get away from me, and I don't want to be a part of that, you know. And you can't come in here, you know. But, you know, Jesus walked up and down, all of them down the dangerous places. He was in the synagogues. He was outside of the synagogues. He sent his disciples in and out of cities, you know, the good, the bad, where it was homosexuality. Everyone was given a chance to hear the word. And so who
needs
to stop it? So let's make sure that we give the word. We don't have to sit there and try to drown it and pound it in them, but, you know, we have to extend the word to them. And then if they don't accept it, he says, you know, shake the dust from your feet and move
on
to the next one. Hallelujah. But let's be friends to each other. Let's keep laughter in our tones. Even if we're disagreeing, do it with laughter. Let's be patient with each other as God is patient with us. And most of all, let's be dependable. Let's be dependable. I want someone to know that they can depend on me. And I just again just want to just be who we are in Christ. Let him use you.
Mm-hmm.
If you just open up your heart, he will show you some things about you that you didn't realize that you could do or you could say. And let him just use you. Let him use you. So as we honor again all of the ones that has went on before us, we just thank God for the opportunities that we've had to be with them. And if you need anything from us, you can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can always leave a message here on the blog talk. But I encourage you all to make sure that you start to come into the archives and look at the different shows. As of February 1 here on the Blog Talk Radio, you know that it is some different changes going on. I think it's the fees is going to be, it's going to be now fees to actually do the shows. However, the free shows, as they are now, will be limited shows. So you will only be able to do short shows, but you can believe one thing. I will still be doing the shows, and they will not be at the prime time. You can't do the free shows anymore in the prime time hours, so they will actually have to be later hours, and that's fine. We're at later hours right now. So whatever it is, if it's not convenient for you to listen live, remember you can always go back, just sign online. Once you go online to the Blog Talk Radio, you can go /Evangelist Von Dumas. You can always find the shows and go back through the archives, and it'll take you back years, and you'll be able to hear any shows that I've done or is going to do, see the upcoming shows. So I remind you, please don't let this discourage you from continuing to be a part, sending in your prayer requests, whatever it is. You know, don't get discouraged by different little things. You know, keep moving forward. And this, too, it's no obstacle that we can't. If it gets to the point that they stop the free shows, then we'll start paying for the shows, if that's what God
does. Amen.
Yeah, not he'll give us another opportunity to get his word out. But as long as we're willing vessels to get the word out, you can believe he will give you the avenue to get that word out. So I'm not worrying about anything about what the blog talks inside that they're going to do, because they're not my source. God is my source. I'm called by him, for him, to deliver his word to you, his people. All right.
Amen.
Well, this is Evangelist Von Dumas. I am signing out for tonight. I thank you, my sister, for being obedient and staying up late again in Atlanta for me. God bless you and keep you. And until we meet again, we'll talk to you later. Signing off. Good night.
Good night.